You gotta be the genius that figures that out when no one else did. That was I'm impressed. Okay, so we're picking up from where we were last week. And we were still explaining the roadmap and the structure of the Siddur HaTefillah and how the Siddur is made up. And last week we described a certain progression in terms of the creation of the world, how each part of the tefillah is connected to and sanctifies and elevates a different aspect of the Bria till we get to a state where we're actually face to face, quote unquote, up there with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And today we're going to take that idea a little bit further. a little bit further and a little bit deeper. So they're just reminding us, as last week, I mean, you should have it on the sheet in front of you on page 12. So today we're going to be getting, someone's going to bring the copies in from pages, it's going to be 14 through 20. So we're going to add a big chunk over here today. But if you remember last time we spoke about the idea that the Birkas HaShachar section was, quote unquote, keneged, the Olam Hazeh that we live in, our physical world. The second stage was, and we came to the world of Psukei Dezimra, so that was a stage that was keneged. We had different expressions that were used, the Olam HaGilgulim, the world of the orbits and the celestial things that were going on up in the spiritual kinds of realms. We had the idea that we had the Birkas Kriyashma, the third section, that was keneged the Olam of the Malachim, the Shiros of the Malachim, and then we have the Shemoneh Esrei itself. That was the place where the Ribbono Shel Olam, or the Ashras Hashchin itself, is going to be. And today we're gonna take that idea and explain it a little bit further with some. I can't see energy. Did everyone? Then just a little bit further, but a little bit deeper, and perhaps even introduce some brand new ideas over here. And that is like this. Let's try to, as best we can, pay attention and like that. If you can see inside your sheet, we are going to do a little reading, and we're also going to do a little bit of explaining. Okay. First, I'm going to speak about the number four. Okay, go back to the basics, a little Sesame Street or Electric Company, and we got four. Now, the number four in the world of Machshav is a very, very basic building block, a very, very important number in the world of Jewish thought. And when a person, when we think through our experiences with a lot of different areas in Torah Mitzvahs, we're going to find that the number four is something that comes up on a regular basis. I'm not going to ask you for examples and throw things out right now. We're just going to speak about, like I said, some of the yisodos that are here. I'd like to try to get this as clear as we possibly can. Number four is going to be, thank you, number four is going to be contrasted with number one. Now, let's explain what that means there's a lot of paper here, but there it is. Number four, mind before I lose them. Number four, as opposed to number one, means as follows. The number one is a significant number in the Jewish religion for a very, very simple reason, and that is because one is Hashem, one is Hashem, one is Hashem in the heavens and the earth. There you go. Okay. Now, So the number one, as we learned a little bit this past Friday night when we were all tired, that in the drasha before a matter of time, that one, when we say Hashem is Echad, we don't of course mean God is one as opposed to being three like the Christians believe, but God is one, meaning to say He's the only. Echad means it's only the Achdus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the only thing that exists for real in this world. Everything else is a figment of our imagination. That imagination, of course, is something that Hashem created for us to have the ability to misperceive what reality is all about. But Hashem Echad means that we understand, there's a basic belief that the only real mitzias, the only real existence that exists, that's there, is the mitzias of Hashem. And everything else is just, like I said, just something we imagine. We're going to talk more about that today also. The number four becomes very, very significant. The Maharal Prague describes in the beginning of the Sefer Ner Mitzvah for a very, very simple reason. And that is, let's hold for just a couple of seconds, and we'll take a question right after this, thing. So the Maharal explains a very, very pashut now idea that we know just, what do you call it? We'll borrow this for a second. We know if we have one thing, that's going to be this right now, okay? If we have one thing, and a person wants to speak about, or if we want to imagine for ourselves, visualize for ourselves, the idea of breaking away, or I'm going to call it in Hebrew being mispashate, spreading out, expanding past the basic one thing that exists. So we know the way the world works, in terms of the world of like space and spatial relations. So there are basically four different directions that somebody could go away from a central point. You could go this way, that way, this way, or that way, right? And you have your one thing. You got this? Can we all see the little pictures we're making over here? Yeah? Are we good? Okay. And hence we have something called the compass and the four different spots. We all these are all things that we should know. You got the idea? Okay, now in what was that? Up and down is right. Is when we have something two dimensional. Up and down is what it called. Is also a very, very basic thing, but that's going to be another stage. The four basic directions spreading away from that number one are four. Now let me explain it like this. In other words, when it comes to visualizing things with numbers and symbols, or the Ramazim that the Torah puts into to understanding, there are different stages and different levels. So four is going to be your basic thing that's there, right? Your basic one-dimensional structure. And then six is a number that, again, adds a certain, like another deeper dimension that's there, where there's two other directions, quote-unquote up and down, that can exist also when you go into a slightly different dimension. For example, the very pasuk of Shema Yisrael itself, right, the Arizal explains the six words in it, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, to be merames a hispashtas, an expansion that Hashem is Echad, and all the different things that we could possibly imagine, see, and relate to in our world. There are multiple levels of a Ramazan there in Shema Yisrael, and in the parsha that comes right after that. So let's come and just keep on talking for a second. We have God, we have Hashem, he's going to be in the middle of our life, the central point of our existence. And when you want to spread away from God, and I'm going to explain why we're spreading away from God in just a second, the basic number that's used to denote to us the idea of moving past that one central point is the number four. Okay, that's why, right, the way that the world is built and the world is structured, there are going to be four points and a compass that we always speak about, four different directions, north, south, east, and west, that exist. The idea is that we have a perception that there's something past, or something beyond, something other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? And the way numerically that's expressed is through the number four. Okay, and that's why, again, this is the way it's been throughout Dorei Doros, the way the Baruch Hu created the world, is that we're all going to have this, I don't know where these things go, but I'm putting it back, here we go, let's hold this right over there, and I'm back to here, and we're going to keep on going. Now, the number four comes up in a lot of different ways for us, okay, and a lot of things that we, if we're paying attention, we start to understand a little bit better why that's going to be significant. For example, the very Shem Hashem itself, the very, very name that Hashem used to create the world, the Shem Havaya, what's called, if you remember from saying Ataris Nadarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah, B'Shem Havaya Baruch Hu, the name, what Havaya means in English?
This is the wrong
thing. It's not English, but what does Havaya mean in English? Existence, right, or causing to, is bringing into existence. So the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, of course, has four different letters that are there. Hashem created, when he wanted to build the world, he built the world in the, what it called, in this four-pronged kind of a way. There are four, a lot of the other fours that come up that we talk about. The Rabbanu Shalom speaks about the idea that there were four stages of creation. This is going to be slightly, we'll do that. There are four stages of creation. that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. We know that, of course, because we all know a famous comment made by the Zohar HaKadosh called Istakel Be'oraisa Ubara Bara Alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks into the world, looks into the Torah rather, Istakel Be'oraisa Ubara Alma, created the world. You've heard of that expression before? Yeah, okay, all of us. Good. Istakel Be'oraisa Ubara Alma. The world is created, right? The world is created through the prism and through the means of Torah. Everything that exists in the world is all just a way to be able to facilitate our kiyum of the Torah and mitzvahs, and we just have to be aware of that and just and go with it and know that that's the natural order of how the world works, and anything that we think is telling us not that way or might indicate that way is just something, again, a yetzer that we have to fight against. Istakel b'oraisa b'ra'alma. How many different levels of Torah are there? Different styles of learning, so to speak, or different levels in learning? That's what's called the famous paradise, meaning Rashi Tevas for paradise. There you go. Right there you go. The JC got shit done. It's almost like paradise. Almost. Okay. There you go. Now, what? I'll give you a remez. There you go. Have at it. Okay. Paradise. What is that? Well, how about that? We're in the middle right now. So paradise. Pshat, remez, drash. And so, Pshat, of course, is the world of learning that we learn things on a very simple, straightforward, the way we see it, kind of. If I'm in a good mood, I'm going to tell you some interesting things now. Pshat, so it is dark, why not? Remez, the world of remazim, the world of illusions. That's a certain level of learning where things are not as clear and obvious, but we're spoken to, I think we all know what the words mean, we're spoken to in the form of allusions. That God alludes to certain things in the Torah. We have to be able to pull them out and understand how that works and what the different messages are. There's a level of drash. Drash basically means when, I'm oversimplifying a little bit, but drash, the idea of drash, we've all heard of the expression before, when we take different words, different phrases, and compare, understand different links that are there from or between different areas in the Torah, a certain level again of different understanding that the Torah has to offer, midrashim, drashos, etc. that we're all familiar with. And again, maybe perhaps I'm going to take a moment to say something that should be sort of obvious, but I'm a little bit nervous. Maybe is not, and that is, of course, that many of us oftentimes forget the idea that although the Ribbono Shel Olam wrote the Torah in a way that Torah meaning Chumash, right, from Bereishis till Le'enei Kol Yisroel, wrote the Torah in a way that it's actually, maybe sometimes we're challenged by this, but it actually is just readable. You can open up from the beginning, just read the psukim and understand them, and they're there, and they tell stories and give you mitzvos and all of that. But don't ever be mistaken and think that that's actually what the Torah means, and that's the way to read or learn the Torah. For example, the Gemara Megillah tells us in Neftes that there was a tragic day. This is quoted, it's a stronger formulation, the Masechta Sofrim, that says that on Ches Teves, we had 2 weeks ago or so, the day that the Targum Shivim, the day that the Torah was translated into Greek, the Gemara says that was Kasha Lehen Yisrael Kiyom Shanasa Bo HaEgel. That day was as bad for the Jews, as dark for the Jews, as the day that the Egel was made. What was so bad about the Targum of the Torah? The Masechta Sofrim writes, Shelo Nitno the Targum called Sarka. You can't be Matargim. You can't translate the Torah the way it needs to be translated. What the Chazal mean by that, very, very pashut, is the point that we're making right now, is that it's true a person can take the text of the Torah and give an English translation. Art Scrolls done it, King James did it, a lot of people have done it in between. The Chazal did it at the time of the Targum Shivan. They were forced by Talmi HaMelech to write the Torah into Greek, and they made a Tainus. It's a Tainus Tzadikim, it's put in some Kufpei something, in Orach Chaim. And one of the things he said Slichos about, if you were paying attention on Aser B'Tevis in the morning. And that's because we get a misperception. The Torah Ein Hachinami can be read on the Pshat level. But the book that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the awesomeness of a Sefer Torah, is that the Torah is not only understood on, let's read the words and tell a story and read some of the mitzvahs, but there are so many other messages and ideas that are built into the Torah if we know the secrets or the code, so to speak, how to access all the thoughts that are found inside of a Torah. So of course you have the Pshat, you have the Remez, you have the Drash, all these things we make the Drashos, the Gezer HaShavah, Kavachomer, all the things that exist are built in, put into the Torah by Kadosh Baruch Hu, telling us that I want you to be able to make all these different associations, because the correct and accurate reading of the book is not just by reading the Pesukim, not just by reading the words straightforward, but by delving a little bit deeper into those ideas. And of course, the world of the Sod, the secrets of the Torah, that are all there inside the Chumash as well. But again, a person who's untrained and not yet been brought into that world doesn't exactly know how to read and understand what those ideas and what those messages are. So, for example, we have it in the end of, I think it's Parshas Vayishlach, we have a recounting of the Eila HaMalachim Asher Malchu. These are the four kings that were kings of the Middle East before Klal Yisrael came onto the scene. And it lists a whole list of different names. Again, you might have remembered that parsha. Seems like a little thing over there. If you read the different drushas of the Arizal, pointed out that parsha is the most important and the most significant and deepest parsha that's there in Kol HaTorah Kula. And you start to understand some of the sodas that come out of those couple of lines. You realize, wow, oh my God, like the entirety of the Torah. For example, the Gra writes, this is all coming back to davening in a couple of minutes. Just bear with us. So, but the things we have to learn. The Gra points out in the beginning of his parish on the Sefer Ditznusa. Again, the Sefer Ditznusa is one of the basic svarim in the world of Kabbalah. And the Gra has a very famous parish on the Sefer Ditznusa. So the Gra, in the very very beginning, translated the word Sefer Ditznusa means the book, the Sefer of Tznius. So that's not a book. If you look, and you won't see any words like short sleeves and up to your knees and skirts and these kind of things. A whole different concept in a different world that's being discussed. But the Gra there writes something very, very major. The Gra there points out that every event, listen very carefully, every event that has ever taken place in history, every event that ever will take place in history, every last little detail of that event, no exceptions in the slightest bit, everything is discussed in the Psukim of the Chumash. A person has to know how to read and how to understand. And the Gra then points out that not only is that true, but all of that is included in the first Pasuk of Sefer Bereishis, but that's going to be a little bit harder to be able to read one Pasuk in the Torah and figure out every last detail of every last event in every single time and every single place in the entire world history that's taken place in the past and will take place in the future. And says the Gra even more than that, if a person really knows how to read properly, they'll know that all of that is included in the first word, Bereishis, of a Sefer Torah. And that's it. Kol HaTorah Kula. Anything you ever possibly want to know about the world and existence is in that one word. Now go spend a lifetime figuring out what that means. In fact, the Gra, at the end of his life, for the last number of years, when he would sit down and learn and spend all his day learning, would only do so with a Chumash in front of him. And that was it. Because all of Shas, all of the Kabbalah, all of everything that you could possibly want to know was all there in a Chumash. Why are we talking about that? So let's now jump back into things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Torah with four different levels. Parties, Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sodi. Staka be'oraisa ubara alma. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks into the Torah and creates the world around the Torah. And again, let's remember, the Torah is, as the Lashon of Chazal, Ihu, Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, he himself, v'chachmase, and his chachma are chadva. They're all one, and the all one and the same. As opposed to human knowledge and human wisdom are things that we know, that are things, ideas that we can stick into our mind, and now I have this thing in my head, but if you can imagine it doing this visually, even though it doesn't make sense, there's like my head, and there inside my head I got some stuff, there's some Gemara that I got sitting there inside my head, but my head and my knowledge are not necessarily one and the same. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Chachma, the Torah, are one and the same. When Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Torah and creates a world, and we realize and remember, listen carefully and try to think a little now, and we realize and remember that Hashem is Echad, everything that exists is only really the Ribbono Shel and nothing more than that. That means everything we see in the world and everything that's going on in the world is really nothing more than just Hashem and Divrei Torah, the Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I think we might have mentioned this once before. God did us a favor, because it's really, really difficult to learn the world the same way we learn a Gemara. So he babies things down and gives us Psukim and Chumash and Mishnayos and Gemara and Ksosis and Nesivos and all of that. But really, we could just spend some time looking at grass and bees and fish and figure all this out anyway. But That's going to be a little bit trickier. And the same way, when Hashem wants to be able to go from, now we're going to move into back into our discussion here, wants to move from just Him to all the other things that He allows to be understood, to be existed, or that He allows to for us to think, go on in the world. And as we explained, that's the four movements away from that one central point. The world that Hashem created was created using the number, or with the number four, in four stages as well. Okay, and what the Chazal speak about are four basic levels, if you will, of creation, four different levels that Hashem used to be able to span the gap and a massive gap between the world of absolute perfection, infinity, shleimus, perfection, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself, over to us and our world, where we are anything but perfect, anything but totally shalem. And certainly, in the world that we live in, we actually even sort of think that we exist, separate and distinct from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And most of us probably have a perception that I exist, there's me, and there's God, there's the world, and there's etc. And that, of course, is a mistake. But how do we bridge the gap between total, absolute oneness of the Ribbono Shel Olam and, in our mind, total absolute separation, distance, nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, multitudes of things that are going on in the world? Hashem had four different stages that brought us down into the world that we live in. And there are four words that are used for the four, what are called worlds, olamos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And those were, we're going to go from up till down. That was called the world of Atzilus, Aleph, starting with an Aleph. Atzilus, okay, and that really means a shine, okay? I might explain these things as we're going on, I might not. Atzilus, then, the world of Bria, that's the next word that's used. The world of Yitzira, with a Yud, Yitzira. And then the world that we live in is called the Olam HaAsiya, the world of action. And of course, we understand that we're living in a physical world where we exist through action and things that are taking place in our world. There's a Rashi tables that are used in many, many different Sfarim that are called the Olamas of Abiyah, Aleph, Beis, Yud, and Ayin. Okay? Atzilus, Bri, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. These are very, very basic things that are there. Each one of those worlds has a corresponding level of Limud HaTorah that exists. So, for example, working now from down back up, which is going to be a little bit easier for us to understand, the world that we live in, the world of Asiyah, the world furthest away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the world of Pshat. That's quote-unquote simple things that we see, that we can perceive in our world. Then moving up, then backwards, right on top of us, the world of Yetzirah, that's going to be the world of Remez, on top of that, the world of Bria, the world of Dresh, and then the world of Atzilus, closest to the Ribbono Shel Olam Himself, that's the world of Sod and all the different secrets of the Divrei Torah. Okay, the last shiurim that we were zochet to hear from Moshe Zatzal, where we're all explaining what the world of Sod is all about, what Sodos HaTorah actually are. Fascinating shiurim. He was trying to convince all of us that all of the teachings of the Riza, all the Kabbalos, all the things that people learn, and whatever it is, all of those are still on the level of Pshat in Torah. But the Sodos are things that are like way, whatever it was, like a lot of things that make you get depressed when you're so far you have to go. And so those are the four worlds that exist. The Olamos of Abiyah, Atzilus, Bri, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Now again, as we described before, there's a, just to use the same word, a hispashtus, a spreading out. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the central point right over the entire world. And then these are the ways that we distance ourselves, Yud Kei Vav Kei, from the Ribbono Shel Olam that we have. And of course, we know if we even learn Gemaras and Daven in the morning, we might, and Davening and learn the Gemaras about the Davening, we might be aware that we actually speak about this every single day. Yeah? Yeah, how about that? I want to point out a Menachos, Daf Kav Tes, that we have a Pasuk, Ki Beka Bir, Yud Kei Beka Hashem Tzur Olamim. Now the Gemara points out, Hashem created the world with the letters Yud Kei. The Gemara says the Olam Hazeh that we live in was created with the letter He, but I'm not going to explain what that expression means, created with the letter. Something means Hashem, with that os, with that letter of His name, brought this world into existence. Okay? Why is the world, you probably learned this before, why is the world Olam Hazeh compared to a letter He?
Because Gehenna below.
On the one hand you have, the He is open on the bottom, it's easy to slip and fall and whatever. But on the other hand, the person always has to remember that there's a little entrance away in the top in between the this part and that part of the hay. You can always come back and get in, etc. There are all different ramazim that are there. With that letter of Hashem's name, you say that pasuk every morning, right? Yibakah Hashem Tzorolamim. Yeah, you do. Okay, at the end of Uval Tzion. And that's a little rem. We're living the world, the os hay of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Now, I'm going to pause here for a second and take questions. Mordechai had a question before. I told him to wait until I was just done with that one thought, and now we're almost done. So,
what did you mean before when you said everything? Did you mean things that we stick that rock over there? Like it's not actually how I see it. It's just
what?
Like, I don't know. What did you mean?
Right. Well, how about this? You forget about the rock. Why you blame things on rocks? Right.
No, I'm saying.
What you see is not a real existence, right? That is the Ribbono Shel'olam, who's trying to trick you and get you to understand things properly. People walk around in this world, living in a world of dimyonos, in a world of fantasy, having a lot of mistaken impressions about things. And Hashem wants us to be able to cut their chase and actually visualize things properly. People make plans and have ideas and thoughts and blah, 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 without really understanding what's going on in front of their face at any given time.
How does that affect what I see, the brick I see on the ground?
Why does that affect? Right? I'm not understanding the question.
Doesn't that have to do more with the physical things that we see, but the bigger things, like the things we understand, concepts and mashukazeh?
And any further question? Start with a question and end with a question mark.
You mean that literally everything that we see, from the rock on the wall to the garbage can over there, just isn't actually what it is? It's just how Hashem presents it to us because that's the only way we can understand it.
Yeah, I see you don't like being freaked out psychologically, which is a fair thing.
No, I just don't get it.
Right, that's true. And this is a challenge that people have. But again, we keep on speaking of rocks and garbage cans. And let's say the thing that I see in the mirror, the hand that I'm looking at right now, the belly that I'm trying to get rid of and all that, right? All of that, right, is nothing, is not real, is not anything other than a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be able to understand and cut through some of the fantasy parts of things and get to a greater understanding of Him, what He's about, why we were put here, etc. Right.
What does that make a difference about the rock I see on the wall?
I want to see the difference. What does that mean? Do you want to know, should I still bother climbing that, or if I throw it at somebody, would hurt him?
Saying,
it will hurt, right.
Why do you want me to see what's the realness behind what that rock is? Cut to the chase, you said, and see what that rock actually is.
Do you want to know what is it? Why would it matter to me if I walk outside and I understand that I'm surrounded ach v'rak by the Ribbono Shel'olam?
Forget it. I'm confused now.
We can continue talking about things. In other words, the
how do we discover this?
Let's speak about it on a simple level that even a teenager should be able to understand. Life sometimes is faced with choices, right? There's a piece of meat sitting on the table, looks pretty good, smells good, called a hamburger, and then someone tells me, oh, that one comes from McDonald's, and a person wants to know, hey, should I eat that, or should I not eat the tray food? Okay, have a type, I want to, I don't want to. Person has to make a choice. Person says, should I be involved in being Megala Arayos, teenagers, high schools, right? People want to know, not that for you, you guys are all holy Jews, but let's say some kids sometimes are faced with Shomer Nagi issues, other things. Should I do that? Why not? This, bad, 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 whatever it is. Okay. But challenges people have, even on very, very base levels. So we understand, right, that the clearer a person's perception of what was right or wrong, true or false was, so sometimes the struggles that we have, and the Yates are this, and Yates are that, and a type for this, and a type for that, would be framed for us in a very different, very, very different way if a person really understood what was going on in front of him. If a person really understood what's about to happen, what's happening with me, and why am I thinking the way I'm thinking. So whereas a person might say, I really would like to I don't know, eat the hamburger or do something physical with that particular girl. But if the person understood that the hamburger that he was about to eat was just a recipe for Gehenna, and the girl that he was about to touch was like putting his hand through a fire and whatever it is, and etc., a person might like look at himself and say, well, I'm not really obviously I'm not going to do that. But the problem is we don't view things like that. Again, a person, it's easy for us to understand in a physical world, or if I walk off the top of a building, there's something called the law of gravity, and that law, right, is going to dictate to us that you're going to fall down and splotch when you get down to the bottom. But it's harder for us to perceive that there's something called the law of Torah and mitzvahs, and if a person walks off the Torah and mitzvahs roof, so then you're whatever it is. You can either go up, go down, you can have it can be good or it can be bad, but we have to be able to frame our life and our decisions based on true and truthhood and falsehood, and not with the little things that catch your attention. The more and more and more a person has a clear and proper perspective on the world that he lives in, what this is and what this isn't, right? So then all of a person's choices and decisions are going to be able to be made on a higher level. Part of the challenge that we have, we're not suggesting right now that, oh, that was an interesting shiur, now we're going to walk away and just like everything we're going to see is going to be godliness and divinity, and like everyone's always going to be the biggest tzaddik that they ever could possibly be in the world. There's a lifetime of avoda and work that a person has to do to get to those kinds of stages and to be able to do that. But if we're unaware, at least, that that's part of our job in this world, So then obviously we can never make the steps, or take the steps rather, to be able to get to where we need to get to.
That's what I'm saying. So then what's the difference about looking at an adamant, like the door over there? What's the difference how I look at the door?
The difference between me, I'm not understanding the question, I'm sorry.
You're saying
practically?
What?
Practically, the way you look at the door?
It's not just stone, it's different to put in the zuzu on the door.
Yeah. Say your question
again. View it in a different
way. That's what you're trying to phrase the question differently.
My question before was that you had mentioned in the beginning of this year that everything that we see isn't as it seems. Is that everything, or is that like the choices?
Everything.
Even random inanimate objects that have like no effect on us.
Yes. Because everything has an effect on it. Everything is part of a world that you are going to be.
I don't know. the
question is not right now. Does it matter to me if I understand what cucumbers are going to?
It probably
does, because there's a message, like we said before, that Hashem is giving us if we just read, which is hard for us to be able to do. But even without actually understanding why cucumbers are green and long, I'm just trying to think of other words to say it, because I think I've answered the question a couple of times right now.
No, meaning like everything, the reason, yeah, that's a good example, like the reason why I have to use everything, like the way I look at the cucumber should just be that it's green and long, but it's like, otherwise I wouldn't be healthy and I wouldn't eat the cucumber unless it was green.
I'm getting the feeling like we're totally missing the boat here. I'm trying to try to figure out how to explain this differently. let's try and think of another way to say this now. Let's say maybe we'll try to say this with a practical twist to it. If a person really perceived that there's no existence out there other than Hashem, everything is just the Ribbono Shel Olam, what we think is that inanimate rock or the garbage can is nothing more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, and we got, we're just looking at things incorrectly. But if a person really saw all of that, we would probably be in a state where we would never, on the one hand, that's on a low level, never think of doing an aveira, and we would always be totally, absolutely motivated to be mekayim every mitzvah we possibly could in the greatest possible way. The mere understanding, the mere fact that in front of me I see truth, I see the way it is, so like that puts my whole life in a certain different perspective. The more I think that there's a world that exists outside of Hashem, the world that exists outside of God, the more a person thinks he's autonomous, that means he's in control of himself and can make I want to do this, I want to do that. So the concept of the I want, I will, I feel like, I, whatever it is, only comes into play, right? Me doing things other than the things that are Ratzon Hashem, and other than that work within a understanding the tachlis of the creation, that concept of the lowercase I, meaning me, the I, as opposed to God, the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that means that right now I think I have an option of not always living totally in continence with a Kaddish Baruch. Is that, did that help at all? Is it still too philosophical? Is that any easier?
Yeah, it makes sense. Huh?
So, if we were supposed to achieve this way of getting close to God through these four things, why have less than a handful of people even achieved it? And why has only one person actually benefited from it?
So, again, are we casting major aspersions in Lashon Hara against millions and millions of Jews throughout world history?
No. So, why is it so hard to achieve? And
to achieve what?
To achieve this, these levels.
Being perfect. Huh?
Why is it so hard? I'm saying if it's this is our old, if this is the way, then why is it so, and why, at that point, why was it so hard to even...
You've all grasped a lot of this on a very basic level. You're just trying to get better and better at it.
And why people, when they finally grasp the whole thing, did they not? Why were some of them better off if they would have not have attained that level? One person died, one person went crazy, one person went...
parties.
Why was it so...
Why are you assuming that story in the Gemara are the only people that ever had a true understanding of reality, or not?
Why was there so many different outcomes? Why did knowing that do that to them?
Depending where a person's at and how they built themselves, they'll be either capable or incapable of doing certain things.
If you achieved it, if you were able to achieve it, if you're on the level, you could achieve it.
I can jump into some nuclear reactor and I might get burned to Chris from that, because I maybe jumped in a way that wasn't supposed to have happened at that moment. I wasn't properly protected. I wasn't really totally ready to do something.
Someone could get to this level even before they're ready.
Is the sun a good thing or a bad thing? A good thing. We would say that, right? Now, if a person just with his naked eyes decides he's going to stare at the sun for a little while, that would be a bad thing. Yeah? So is the sun a good thing or a bad thing?
It's bad for your eyes.
Depends.
It depends, right? But it doesn't really depend.
I have to get up to the level. I can't just start. I can't just somehow reach. You have to know everything.
There are lots of different achadas that a person has to go through to be able to make it.
So what are you asking? How is one not ready? How do you learn all that and you're still not ready?
Go stare at the sun. That's a big deal. How do I stare at the sun without putting sunglasses on? What are you asking me?
No, I'm thinking, how do you...
You're asking all the four people?
I'm asking all the four people.
You're asking him on that story? Yes or no?
Why is...
Calm down, yeah.
I don't understand this question.
If you have to achieve, you have to be a great person and know all Torah just to get this level, and what more do you have to do? It seems like there's more that...
Yeah, a person has to have lots of different things. There's you want a checklist of how to be a perfect tzaddik?
No.
Why not? I mean, if you want me to be straightforward, I can recommend a couple of things you should be doing at the moment to start getting there. Do we want to do this in public?
Yes.
Yeah. Remember, we have a whole checklist and thing. If someone can be such a big tzaddik,
yes, there are checklists.
And still have not been able to achieve this.
Right. Again, the I'm not sure why you're associating that story in the Gemara and Chagiga with everyone's basic existence in this world. And I'm not sure.
They were greater than us, and they couldn't sort of.
They couldn't do what they what? They propelled themselves to somewhere that a human being in this world is never going to get to. And therefore, what does that have to do with you and your life? And therefore what? I'm not following what you're saying.
And they still didn't get it?
To get, well, we're not talking about getting something.
And they still didn't achieve. And they still
achieve like, what? Am I a bird?
No, the closest.
If I go like this, am I going to fly?
Getting that closer is like a horrible
thing. But that's not what's in question. What's in question here is whether or not a human being is able to exist in a world that a physical human being can't. Right? So that's not a question of every person's avodas Hashem and why does Hashem put us in the world. That's a question of people attempted to be somewhere where they weren't really supposed to be and they really couldn't or shouldn't have been. Right? So with all of the tzidkos that the biggest tzaddik, the biggest tana, the biggest or could achieve, if he walks up to the top of a building and flaps his arms and jumps off, he's not a bird and still can't fly.
Except
the
growth software,
right?
Huh?
So how does that...
Because a human being still, who lives in, just to use the terms that we might not have totally understood right now, but a human being who lives in the Olam HaAtzilus cannot exist in the Olam HaAtzilus. That doesn't work. Nothing. That's not a world that you in a physical state are ever going to be in. That's right. And someone had a hard time with that. Right.
Someone didn't have a hard time.
That's right. That there was someone who was able to achieve that, great. But that's not relevant to us. That has nothing to do with our avodas Hashem.
We're just supposed to acknowledge that it exists.
We'll talk a lot more about this and come back next year also for Shachayim. We're going to learn more about these things and whatever. Right now we're just trying to figure out how to wake up and daven in the morning. So let's refocus. I see we didn't even get up to starting to read the word in the page.
Nice.
We just did the like, background today.
Let's roll.
Okay, you got me. How about that? Okay. Okay. So now. Yeah, I can't even talk about saying that. It's funny. Okay. We'll end with one thought, just to. Like bug you out a little bit. Yeah, you know what? I don't think we're ready to hear that yet. It's not. You might remind me next year. Remind me next year. We'll see. You have to be a little bit old. Yeah, no, next year.
A beautiful
thought. Yeah, a beautiful thought. I'll tell you, there's a Masorah, an idea. I was taught once a very, very important insight by Rebbe, by Rav Feivel Cohen, who heard from his Rebbe, Rav Futner, who was told by his Rebbe that the Altar of Slabodka. So it's mamish a very direct chain to a very particular idea that we'll share with you a different time. Now, let's add over here a little bit further. every single person is also... is also on connected to this entire scheme and this entire picture that we just described. Okay, let's explain what we meant by that. We know a human being, a person that Hashem created, is comprised of different parts, and that's true on many, many different levels. Right? So let's on a physical level, obviously there's a lot of different stuff that's going on. You got arms and legs, and you got organs, and you have veins, and you have arteries and sinews and muscles and other stuff that's going on inside, right? So we know that every person, when I look at somebody, there's a lot that's going on even beneath the surface, even more than we actually see on a upfront, superficial kind of a level. And we also know that when the person was created, Vayipach be'apa of Nishmas Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the physical person, Afar min ha'adama, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also breathed a neshama inside the person. A person is balanced between, really off balance, but in theory a person is balanced between a neshama and the guf. All of these are ideas I think that we probably have heard of before, I hope, right? Okay? And Elokai neshama shenasati b'tahorihi, etc. Now, the expression a neshama that a person has is a little bit broader than one might understand. And when a person is a careful student of Chazal and they actually like open up Svarim and read them, you'll notice, and you're going to start talking about it right now, even, that the phrase neshama, a person has a neshama, is an umbrella category that includes a lot of different little other terms and ideas that we also probably have heard of, even just because we've learned Chumash before, or like we're smarter than sometimes, smarter than when we think. So we know, if I'm going to ask you for other words that might be synonymous with a, not really synonymous, but you might think they're synonymous with a neshama, you would say things like nefesh, a person's nefesh, kisechta, etc., nefesh, okay? A person's nefesh. What else?
Ruach.
What does ruach mean?
Smell.
That's a reyach, okay. Yeah, and ruach means a spirit, a wind, okay. Okay. You throw it a word, a chaya, okay, very nice. Now, the music is a language of the soul, okay. And other such irrelevant terms. Now, there are different, like what we'll call it, there are different levels, there are different parts of a person's neshama, different parts of a person's spiritual makeup. Each one of those parts of the, we'll call it, the spirit of the person, right, it affects and does different kinds of things. So for example, the person has a guf, they have a physical body that they have, and what makes the physical body go, what makes it tick, what makes it work, what makes it do, in Chazal's eyes is a term called the person's nefesh. The nefesh of the person is the spiritual part, again, the intangible, spiritual part of the person that makes him be able to do things. What we might, in English, have called like the life force of the person. What makes the difference between you being just a piece of meat on the shelf in the butcher store to the you that's going to walk around and whatever it is. So that's called your nefesh. That's the part of the spiritual side of you that makes you work. There's another part, I'm going to go now up on in level, called a ruach, something a little bit more refined. And a ruach is the part of a person that the world of, we're going to call it the world of the intellect, the world of bechira, exists in a person's ruach. And then you have something even higher than that called a neshama. Neshama is a very, very specific part of the person's makeup. It's even higher than the other two levels, the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. There's a Rashi Tevos that are used commonly that you'll see called naran, nun, resh, nun, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. And the naran, the nefesh, ruach, and neshama are things that are put inside the person's guf. Now, inside is a very, very funny and perhaps inappropriate expression also, though, because these things are not confined to a person. I'm going to go just another minute or two, because I know the clock is off, so we're not so late yet. But are not really confined to the person's guf, but rather exist on, I try to listen carefully, in all of the different levels of Bria Sa'olam that we had just discussed. And I want to make something clear, and I use this word on purpose right now. All the things that we discussed, Atzilus and Yetzirah and Bria, all these things are creations. These are not God himself. At the time, again, this is not an appropriate sense also, because none of these words are applicable to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but at the time before the world was created, before Bereishis Bara Elokim, none of these things existed, right? All of this stuff, spiritual things, spiritual worlds, etc., levels of existence are also creations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Okay. That being said, every single person amongst us, every single one of us, is connected and exists on all of the different planes that we have just described. Okay? The only part that most of us are familiar with and recognize and deal with on a regular basis, because most people are too common and lowly to appreciate who they are. A person has to start learning Musar and Nefesh HaChaim and grow and understand. That's what you're starting to do right now. You just have to be a little bit older than a kid to be a little bit wiser. But what most people don't realize is that they are much, much greater and bigger than they actually appreciate. And the they that they think they are, the little me, the body, and my life over here, is the lowest and smallest and least significant part of the real existence of the creation, the me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had created. There's an expression that the Zohar Kodesh really writes, the Nefesh HaChaim speaks Barichas about in Perikei of the first Shar, that Chazal referred to the person's guf as a na'al, as a shoe. Okay? Why is a person's guf referred to as a shoe? For the very, very simple reason that if a person looks at his physical guf, yeah, so he'll notice that the lowest part of his body, the thing that's making him walk around on the ground, are the feet, and the feet you stick into your shoes, and then they help you move around over here in this world. So the analogy that Chazal gave, your guf is exactly that, is a nal, is a shoe for the real you that are there. But you are, again, if you just want to talk about this in spatial terms, you are way, way taller and way bigger and way more connected and a lot of things that are going on in Shemayim than you appreciate. Okay? And again, part of being educated, part of growing up, part of becoming an Eved Hashem, part of becoming a truer Ben Torah is to start to come to grips with the we'll call the self-discovery of who I am, how I work, what I do, what I'm about, what's therefore expected of me, what I can accomplish when I have a more proper and more appropriate understanding of the real I, the real me that is there. All of that, and here we're going to pause because now we are a little bit over time, is an introduction to understanding the very, very simple concepts of Birkas HaShachar, Psugi DeZimra, Birkas Kriyashma, and Shmoneh Esrei. But Amir Tashem, next time we're going to talk about that. I apologize we didn't get that far. What?